KNOM Update News. I'm Margaret DeMaribus, and it's 8:02. The White House released its National Strategy for the Arctic Region on Friday. The document lays out the country's plans for future business in the high north, as well as environmental protection and international planning. APRN's Peter Granitz reports it's getting many positive reviews. The 11-page document frequently mentions the Arctic as a region free of conflict and the country's desire to keep it that way. The plan lays out three arcing lines of interest to advance U.S. security, pursue responsible Arctic stewardship, and to strengthen international cooperation. Luke Coffey works on Arctic policy at the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank in Washington, D.C. He says the strategy is welcome news, albeit a bit late. He cautions the strategy is very forward-looking, laying out guidelines for future oil and gas exploration and shipping. He says only 46 vessels traversed the Northern Sea Route last year.
Compare that to the 20,000 ships that passed through the Gulf of Aden off the Horn of Africa. So we are still a long way before we start seeing some of the sort of maritime volume in the Arctic that we're seeing in some of the warmer climates around the world.
The strategy says the United States needs to accede to the United Nations Law of the Sea Treaty. That's something Coffey disputes. He says the country can operate in the Arctic alongside other sovereign Arctic nations without signing on to the international agreement. The U.S. is the only Arctic nation that has not agreed to the treaty. While the strategy explicitly says security is the number one priority, much of the text focuses on future energy exploration. Michael Levine is a lawyer with Oceana. He says both this administration and the previous one, led by President George W. Bush, have prioritized oil exploration over the environment. And while he welcomes commitments to combat climate change, he says it's hard to balance those promises with promises to continue oil drilling.
We hope that moving forward, this administration will stick to its commitment to get good science and to be prepared before industrial activities are allowed.
That's a dig at Shell, which was allowed to proceed with some of its drilling plans despite not having working spill prevention measures. The strategy says the federal government will cooperate with the state and consult with tribes, which is already policy.
If they don't, I'm sure going to be raising a little bit of noise here.
That's Edward Itta, a former mayor of the North Slope Borough and a member of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission. He says the new guidelines are a good first start, but it's just that. There still needs to be concrete plans developed.
I'm still somewhat skeptical till the funding is going to accompany whatever programs or priorities are identified.
Government officials will travel to Alaska this summer to hold listening sessions, asking for input on the new policies. With statewide temperatures this spring cooler than normal, breakup is expected to be 2 weeks later than normal. Jim Coe is the senior hydrologist with the River Forecast Center in Anchorage. He says that as of last Friday, there are only two places in the state where the ice has gone out, on the Upper Tanana and at Nicolai, both on the Kuskokwim River.
In both cases, it's been 2 weeks or even more past the average date of breakup. So what that means is we're anticipating it being at least 2 weeks late everywhere else.
The River Forecast Center watches the larger rivers throughout the state, including the Noatak, Kobuk, and Yukon rivers. Coe says the average time ice in Emonic goes out is May 23rd. He says they can this year expect breakup into June. And Coe says there's two kinds of breakup. A thermal breakup where river ice deteriorates, melts, and washes out. In a dynamic breakup, a significant amount of runoff pushes on the ice, breaking the ice up and pushing it downstream.
And we're getting little of either so far this year.
Chris Clark at the National Weather Service office in Nome can explain why. He says on average, May 7th is the day Nome's average temperature hits 33 degrees, and when the average starts to go above freezing, melting snow, and rotting ice. The average temperature is now 25 degrees, an average typically seen the last week in April. And the cool trend will continue into the third week in May. With the cold front that arrived from the north, our average temperature remains below freezing, keeping river ice in place. ADF&G's area manager Jim Menard in Nome says a cooler spring may mean a later than average arrival of herring.
Because of the ice cover and the water temperatures.
Menard says his office is currently watching the Togiak herring fishery because historically, about 3 weeks after they start fishing in Togiak, the herring fishery opens in the Norton Sound. When it comes to salmon, Menard says a late breakup would affect the salmon arrival by just a few days, or about a week. Interestingly, the ocean ice is going by a different schedule. The ice beyond the shore fast ice has blown away or melted earlier than normal. Kowarik Subsistence Director Brandon Amasuk says he went seal and ugruk hunting by boat well more than a month earlier than normal. At this time, he typically has to wait until the end of May or beginning of June to go spring hunting. He went as early as 3 weeks ago. Nome youth braved chilly fog on Saturday afternoon to operate lemonade stands in front of over 60 businesses and homes around town. These young entrepreneurs were participating in Lemonade Day, a community educational program designed to teach youth about small business. The young entrepreneurs designed, owned, and operated their small businesses, selling lemonade, chips, cookies, toys, and more. Over 100 youth age 4 to 17 participated in this year's event in Nome. Many youth donated part or all of their proceeds to local service organizations, both local and national charities. Each participant chose how to spend their profits. Lemonade Day in Nome was coordinated by the Lemonade Day Committee, Tricia Walters, Carol Gales, Casey Miller, Barb Nichols, Kenra Takak, and Alice Bioff. Lemonade Day Alaska is funded by the University of Alaska College of Business and Public Policy and the Alaska Center for Economic Development. This is the second year the Lemonade Day Committee held the event in Nome. Last year's event was such a success that they expanded the youth business program to 8 surrounding communities this year. To hear from young entrepreneurs, listen to profiles after the 9 and 6 o'clock weather. And for your gold prices at this hour, gold is down $14.80 an ounce to $1,434.30. Silver is down 10 cents an ounce to $23.87. Zinc is at 83 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive at 8:55 and to depart at 9:42. It is unofficially 22 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.